Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and glad to have you along with us here once again on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and I'm honored to be the pulpit minister at the Arlington Church of Christ. You can, if you want to listen to this program again, I want to go ahead and get this out of the way before we get into our topic of study, or share it with someone else you love, or maybe you want to study something else we've already talked about previously. You can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. From there, you just scroll down. This is program number 162, and our course or topic of study today is the scientific accuracy of the Bible. So if you want to study that again or share it with someone, maybe that might need to hear it, you know better than I do. You can do so anytime online. Wouldn't dare take a dime from you. We just simply love sharing God's word with you. As I mentioned, our topic of study, the scientific accuracy of the Bible. Now, this is an article written by Dan Flournoy, F-L-O-U-R-N-O-Y, from Texas. This is an old article that I found, not too old, but in the Voice of Truth International. I've been going through my archives, and I've kind of pulled some articles out that I wanted to share with you. And this being one of them, I thought it'd be worthwhile of our attention, our time, and our study today. And I will go ahead and at the offset, before we get into this study, I'll tell you, I am not a scientist by any means. I understand how science works. Science and I were never friends in school. That was always struggle. I did good in it, but I always struggled. It was something that never just came easy to me. But when I look at things like this, it just shows me and reminds me why I love God and His Word so much. So let's get into this article, The Scientific Accuracy of the Bible. Now, the Bible is not a scientific textbook, yet it speaks many scientific truths which help to demonstrate the divine nature of the book. In considering anything of a so-called scientific nature, it is good to remember the warning that Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. On the one hand, we must be careful not to accept too readily the so-called science of today, for it may be tomorrow's superstition. On the other hand, we must also be careful not to read into the Bible what we want to see. That's good advice for all of us. We should never approach the Bible saying, well, I want the Bible to say this about the such and such topic. That's not how we do it. We open the Bible and we read about the topic and we go, ah, the Bible says this. And that's how we pattern our lives. You know, some have misapplied some of the poetic passages in the Bible to read as scientific statements when they're actually just figures of speech. And as such, they affirm the power and the glory of God as the creator and the sustainer of the universe. And they're not really taken in a scientific sense. They are, however, many unmistakable pre-scientific facts that are expressed in Scripture. Pre-scientific, which means that God, in His infinite wisdom, the God who spoke the world into existence, who created all things, obviously He knew these things before scientists did. And so the Bible, I've got three areas that I want us to look at in our time remaining here. Three areas that the Bible tells us important health facts that that science has come to back up, but the Bible told it years before scientists ever did. And hopefully at the end of our study, this will help you and I have a better appreciation for God and His Word. I want us to look at number one right now, then we're going to take us a break. And it's simply the five facts of science. Now you can look up, maybe you're familiar with a man. Herbert Spencer is his name. He lived from 1820 to 1903. He was a famous British philosopher, and he declared, after spending a lifetime of study, that there are five basic fundamentals of science: time, force, action, space, and matter. We'll read those again for you. He says, after a lifetime of study, there are five fundamentals of science: time, force, action, space, and matter. Now, here's what I find interesting. You go back to page one of your Bible as well as of mine, and it reads, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. But I can find all five of the facts of science in that one verse. You ready? Number one is time. Well, that's in the beginning, right? That's what scientists say. You got to have time. Number one, in the beginning. Number two, there is a force. That's God. In the beginning, God. After a force, you have an action. Number three, that's created. In the beginning, God created. Number four, you have to have space. So that's the heavens. In the beginning, God created the heavens. And then finally, number five, you have matter and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All five facts of science that were recorded by Moses. And, you know, they happen on page one. So that's about 4,000 years of history. So you're looking at 5,000-ish years before this scientist described it. The Bible is amazing. We're going to take us a break here on Reading the Word. When we come back, continue talking about the scientific accuracy of the Bible.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Once again, Brother Dearman, appreciate you for being here, and thanks for that spot for the Arlington Church of Christ. We would love to have you join us at any and all of our studies, our worship services, I should say. And if you want to find this program again, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. From there, you just plain and simple scroll down. This is program 162. We're talking about the scientific accuracy of the Bible. We're looking at pre-scientific things that the Bible teaches you and I is true, and we've already looked at number one, the five facts of science. Now let's move on to number two, and I'm going to look at health laws in the Pentateuch. Pentateuch, five, penta, right? Pentagon is five sides, or the building Pentagon is five sides. Penta is five, Pentateuch, first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that was their law. It is filled with health laws given to Israel while they were in the wilderness. Now, these laws, especially the book of Leviticus, is the book of laws, Deuteronomy's second giving of laws, but they demonstrate a knowledge of bacteria that has only been discovered in modern times. In fact, in my library, I have a book by S.I. McMillan. He was a medical doctor. He cataloged a lot of these in his book called None of These Diseases. And that's taken from a phrase in the book of Exodus where God says, if you do these things, you shall have none of these diseases. So let's just look at some of these real quick. Now, these are health laws that God told his people not to do a long time ago that science has just recently figured out. Number one, they were quarantined people that had leprosy. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse number 11. It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh. The priest shall pronounce him unclean, shut him up, for he is unclean. You drop on down to verse 16, you're going to have to keep them away, shall quarantine him, verse 31, in 7-day intervals. You know, we've especially coming out of the pandemic, we quarantine, right? Well, the book of Leviticus tells us that we should quarantine those that are sick. Number two, the book of Leviticus tells us we should cover the mouth of those who are sick. That's Leviticus 13 and verse 34. In the seventh day, the priest shall look on the skull. Behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor in the sight deeper than the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if not, he's got to cover his mouth so he's not communicating that disease. That's just one. Leviticus 13 and verse 52 talks about burning contaminated clothing. Sometimes that's the only way to get rid of the virus. And how many times have we seen people that have been very sick? The doctor says you need to go home and burn all the clothes or burn all the possessions. I tell you what, the Bible tells us the shaving and washing of those who had been sick. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 8, he that is to be clean shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash in water, and may be clean. After that, he may come into the camp. So those that are sick, I don't know about you, when I'm under the weather, sometimes the thing that feels the best to me is a warm, hot shower, right? Well, science has told us, hey, you need to clean the sickness off of you. Well, God says that a long time ago. One of the things that the old law prohibited, by and large, Numbers chapter 19, verses 5 through 22, also Leviticus chapters 13, 14, and 15, by and large, was handling of dead bodies was prohibited. You know, today we don't just go around and try to grab every corpse that we see. There's a reason that people who are undertakers, they go to mortuary school to learn how to properly care for the body, because as soon as we take our last breath, that body starts decomposing. So the Bible tells us you need to be careful. Another one, in Leviticus 17, verses 12 through 14, we learn that the eating of blood is prohibited. It says, therefore I say unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood. That's just gross. We know life is in the blood, but we shouldn't drink blood. Now, scientists said you shouldn't drink blood, but God said that years before. And in Deuteronomy 32, we learn about burying waste, how it is beneficial. That's just seven. Now, the book, none of these diseases, big, thick book, but that will suffice for now. See, God and the Pentateuch gave us medical laws that science has only recently figured out. Let's look at number three. There are unscientific practices that are not incorporated in the Bible. You know, Luke did not incorporate to the Pentateuch a single medical practice common among his day, or I should say. Luke informs us that Moses, in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, was instructed in all the ways of the wisdom of the Egyptians. So he knew all about their medical potions. Yet he did not incorporate anything into the Pentateuch of the Egyptians. Now the famous Ebers Papyrus, it was a medical book written about 1552 BC, gives the most advanced medical knowledge of that day. Many of the common remedies included the bacteria-laden dung of various animals and insects. The formula for drugs concocted by Egyptian doctors, one of them was, for instance, a shell of a beetle, head of an electric eel, guts of a goose, tail of a mouse, fat of a hippo, hair of a cat, eyes of a pig, and toes of a dog. That's also from a S.I. Macmillan's book. Now, that just doesn't even sound right, does it? You know, it's nothing short of remarkable that although Moses was trained in the ways of the Egyptians, he did not incorporate the pagan medical practices of his day in writing the first five books of the Bible. Thus, what we do not read in the Bible is a valuable testimony to its divine origin. Dear friends, the Bible, when properly used, and true science, not man's fanciful theories, they will always agree, because their ultimate source is God. I want to read that last sentence again. The Bible, when properly used, and true science, now not talk about man's fanciful theories, they will always agree, because God is their ultimate source. In Exodus 15:26, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I appreciate your time today. I hope you enjoyed that study. Now, that's a study that I've gone into, and I've got the book, read part of the book. I kind of get lost sometimes on the medical diagnoses, but None of These Diseases, an interesting book to look at, but I hope that this study has been enlightening for you. But ultimately, I hope it has been beneficial for you, maybe help you realize just how special God is in his word and why he left it for you and I, so that we can read it, learn from it, and live, and learn how to live, be pleasing unto him. And dear friend, I do appreciate the time that you have afforded to me today in this study. Now, if you'd like to study this again or any of the other ones in our series of Reading the Word, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. If you click on where it says Radio Programs, from there you can find this has been Program 162 called The Scientific Accuracy of God. Until then, may the good Lord bless you. And may he keep you. Dear friends, I am so appreciative of the time that you have afforded me today. And we look forward to doing it again, if the good Lord permits, in about a week or so. But until then, as I was saying, may the good Lord bless you and may he keep you. Please, please, please continue to pray. The world needs it. And thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.